All right. So the first provision that we have is 503C1, which is designed to address the case where an executive has another opportunity. And the language used is an insider. And you want to retain the person. So this is what we would call a CERPAC employee retention plan. The GAO recently did a survey and found that this provision had not been used in any of the major cases. And I guess this from my perspective, and this is Lisa Lambert personally, and I'm not speaking necessarily for the views of the U.S. Department of Justice, but there just aren't a lot of people that come in to compete for the management of a bankruptcy debtor who's in an industry that, say, during COVID has been shut down across the industry, or in an industry that is either in alteration or that has the business has had problems. So they just haven't had anybody really using this as the basis for getting retention approved or bonuses approved. So then the second option, which we're going to change slides now, is that the services are essential to the survival of the business, and then we have the option of the amount of the transfer made is an amount equal to 10 times the amount of the mean transfer. So, and then let's go to the next slide here. Then we also have a severance payment option, and the final option is, let's go to the next slide, other transfers or obligations that are outside the ordinary course of business and not justified by the facts or circumstances of the case. And let's go to the next slide. So we are, the 503C was the option used in Pilgrim's Pride, and we were asked, how does that really change from the business judgment? And the Judge Lynn held that it was different because the bankruptcy judge was making the assessment, and he recognized that these bonuses are approved by insiders for the benefit of insiders, and even if it's not the same individuals approving them, that it is, it requires an outside party. So the deference that's given to a business judgment is not given. However, if you look at the cases and the way they're being approved right now, the standards are such that they're often getting approved. We're going to talk as we go in about the Key Employee Incentive Plan and the Dana standards, but right now we're going to talk a little bit about the other option that's evolving and that the GAO cited in its article, the pre-bankruptcy bonuses. And Pat, did you want to talk about those?
Yeah, absolutely. And understand that there's been a number of cases over the past couple of years in which key employee retention plans are approved, but they are approved prior to bankruptcy. And some of those retention plans are, you know, 6 months in advance. Others, as little as 5 days in advance of the bankruptcy. And what has come out is that in many of these cases, you're talking about millions of dollars going to senior executives. And they're doing that because 503C1 has made it almost impossible for a debtor to get a retention bonus approved. And the GAO report, as well as a number of commentators, have focused in on and honed in on these pre-bankruptcy retention bonuses. And I think one of the reasons that there's so much focus now on bankruptcy bonuses, at least for executives, is because those companies then come into the Chapter 11 and seek retention, not retention bonuses, but incentive bonuses for the senior management. And it's an example of, you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
They're seeking the incentive bonuses after they've already received the,
right.
the pre-petition bonus?
Okay. Right. And, you know, we'll talk about the Hertz case later on, but that's an example of sort of how those bonuses have worked. You had pre-petition bonuses, you had incentive bonuses in the bankruptcy, and then the senior management, 45 days after emerging from bankruptcy, got a another incentive bonus. It is that combination of bonuses and payments that I think have attracted attention both from Congress and the media.
Do you have any sense, Pat, of how much annually, I mean, sort of what boost they're getting to their annual income vis-a-vis, you know, let's say for 5 years prior to bankruptcy, the executive was working and they were making whatever they were making, $1.5 million a year. And then going into bankruptcy, they get a pre-bankruptcy bonus, and then they file a motion seeking to approve a key employee incentive program. Presumably, it sounds like they're probably making more in the months leading up to bankruptcy and then through bankruptcy than they were ever making in advance, right? Do you have any sense of how much greater that is?